On this episode of Overask, we had on Tom Tool. This is unlike any episode we've ever had. We're not talking about Instagram clicks. We're not talking about hashtag strategy. We're talking about how to handle objections. This is the most valuable podcast we've ever done. Listen to the entire thing. Tom Tool, let's go.
The Broke Agent presents Overask Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Overask. Today, we have a guest we've been trying to get on for months, and he kept canceling. He came late today, I really don't think he was too stoked to be on, but we finally got him in the same, not the same room, but the same Zoom as us. Mr. Tom Tool is on the episode. Tom, thanks so much for being on.
Grateful to be on the most innovative podcast in real estate history, right? Isn't that the award you guys got this past week?
It sure is. It's right back there. See it if you're watching this?
That's a big award shelf you got there. One award. Congratulations.
I'm
God. It's like your sports trophy case back at home, I'm sure, Tom.
There's nothing in that.
Just a couple Little League participation trophies, and that's it.
Now, here's the thing, guys. We're joking around here, but Tom is an absolute animal. You're going to get so much value out of this episode. We've been stoked for this episode because we think we are just going to be valued by the truckloads in this episode. Because, Tom, I've heard you are an objection master.
I don't often talk about where my skill set is. I would argue that if it's about taking listings, handling seller objections, and just getting people to make the decisions they want to make, even though we know in real estate that a lot of people don't do the logical thing. And it's a tough skill. It's something I really worked at, and it's paid off. I mean, we've been able to help people and get them to where they want to go and help them make smart decisions in a really emotional, like frenzied time in their life when they're moving.
Yeah, how did you get to be so good at handling these objections? It's like, how long have you been in the business?
21 years.
Holy shit. 21 years? I'm not just saying this. You look really good for your age.
Youthful face.
I lost a ton of weight. I'm not a fat ass like I was 5 years ago, so that helps. I got licensed when I was 19, and I sold my first couple properties when I was home from college. It literally has been 21 years. I mean, you guys can do the math and figure out how old I am. It's not hard. So
no, you're not that old, actually, now that I think about it. I
thought still you younger than the average agent.
True.
By 15 years, if my math is serving me correctly. Tom is 40 years old, everyone.
Yes.
For keeping score at home.
Well, you look fantastic, Tom.
Should see me without my shirt off at the Jersey Shore. It gets better.
Oh, I bet.
It's like a translucent teenager.
It doesn't.
Tom, we want to take this podcast.
We interrupt each other once an episode.
Let me take this.
Okay, fine.
We want to take this podcast in a different direction because we've basically been hammering Instagram and content. People get it. You know, I think the algorithm changes. Everyone understands that. So we want to focus on objection handling. And we are going to hit you with a flurry of objections, and you're going to handle them for us. Does that sound good?
We're essentially going to role play and script, Tom. I mean,
I'm in.
Eric doesn't really know that terminology, role playing, scripting, stuff like that, because he wasn't really, you know, hasn't been in the business long enough to know those things.
But I'm going to quit this podcast if you make that joke one more time. that's the final one.
That's what we're going to do.
It's the last
Listen,
one.
Eric. The guests are different. They haven't heard the jokes, okay?
The listeners are not different. The listeners have heard that 57 times in a row.
Eric, this is
if you're listening at home, if you're listening at home, throw this a like if you've heard Matt make that joke before.
It's a Cirque du Soleil show, okay? We got to give the same energy every time, all right? A lot of people haven't heard this. Our guests, we got to have that same energy, okay? So, Eric, do you want to start with an objection or me?
I do. But let's start with the most common one right now, Tom. The market is cooling down a little. I don't know if I should buy right now. What do you say to that?
So I hear where you're coming from, Eric, and a lot of people that they feel that way. So where did you get that information? Where did you find that data that's telling you the market's cooling down?
I mean, all these news headlines, they're telling me that there's going to be a housing crisis, there's inflation, the stock market's crashing, we're entering a recession. So I feel like it's a good time to wait right now, just because prices are probably going to be way lower in the next 6 months.
Sure. And you know, if you look at a lot of what's in these news articles, the headlines can be very misleading. So I totally get what you're saying. And what we found, and I've been through a couple actual real recessions in 2008. A lot of people don't realize we went through a recession for 2020 for a couple months there. And if you look at all the data of the last five recessions that we went through, excluding the 2008 mortgage lending crisis, which I would call an institutional failure because they were just giving anybody that's a loan, they were giving anybody loans. You could have bad credit, make up your own income, and yeah, you're approved. That's what was happening. Besides that particular recession, we've only seen prices go down once in real estate, and it was less than 2%. So typically, housing is what buoys the economy during a recession, not the other way around. And what I also know is that when you're looking at inventory levels right now, we're at like a month and a half supply in the city of Philadelphia, less than a month in the suburbs. That's not even close to being an even market for buyers and sellers. You need to see a 6-month supply for that to happen. So even if we're entering a recession, which that data is very clear, and I'm not making light of that. I mean, people's jobs are at stake, businesses are there, that's important. I don't see anything that tells me there's a housing bubble or that there's risky loan products being given out like happened in before 2008. So we're actually seeing the exact opposite. And I've got these slides on my phone here from Keeping Current Matters that actually demonstrate this to you. And I'm going to send them to you so you can see, because it's not me saying this. I'm just sharing the data with you.
I mean, I'm ready to buy right there, Matt.
Eric, oh man, Tom, where do I sign? I'll buy something in Philly. Holy shit. That's fantastic. Tom, you ready for me to hit you up with another one?
Let's go. I've done this before at the Tom Ferry Summit twice. Once it was 25 objections in a row, and the other time I won the role play battle. So I'm ready. So
okay, weren't you carrying around like a championship belt with you? And that
I
was
won
like 2019,
championship
right?
Belt. Yes,
people were calling you champ. You're acting like you were Evander Holyfield or something.
Rocky like, Balboa. I'm from Philly.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. The 8 mile of real estate right here. Okay. All right, ready?
Let's
Tom,
go.
Another agent came in and said they do it for 1%.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised you couldn't get an agent to do it for less than that. A lot of agents, they'll just do anything they can to take a listing. So how many homes has that agent sold? Did they give you their track record?
No, but they just, I mean, it's the cheapest price around. So that's what we're kind of going off of.
And are they planning on paying a buyer agent, or is that just what they're going to charge you?
They didn't tell us that.
Okay. So and what I know is that a lot of folks say, hey, we'll do it for 1%, and then you have to pay the buyer agent another 3% on top of that. So they're really doing it for 4%. So tell me what kind of marketing plan they had, or what their sales track record looks like.
They just said the house would sell itself pretty much. We're in a seller's market. And we don't,
and you know. You know, it's funny you say that. I don't mean to cut you off, Matt. And a lot of people will say, hey, the home's going to sell itself. And in a lot of cases, the home will sell itself. The question is, are you leaving money on the table or not? And what I know is that our team's listings, they sell for 8% more than the average agent in our marketplace, because we have a documented pre-launch plan to make sure we get people interested. And we're seeing tons of clients leave money on the table when they go with these discount brokers because they don't have the training, they don't have a marketing plan. They just don't know what to do to even get people competing for the home. So, you know, why don't we do this? Why don't you call back that agent, find out exactly what their plan is? And how about I come meet you tomorrow at 2:00 and we can compare apples to apples what they're doing and see what the differences are so you can make a real determination? Because when you're just saying, hey, we'll list it for a low number and there's no backup plan or there's no outline of how they're going to get you the maximum price for the home, I get a little nervous, and I'd hate to see you make a mistake and leave money on the table too.
That's good stuff. Eric, this is fantastic.
This is exactly what I thought it was going to be. Tom, how do you come up with these? Is it just years of experience? And we have a bunch more that I want to get into, but like, how are these scripts developing? Is it experience? Are you being taught these? How can agents learn to talk like you?
So I've been in coaching for a long time. And the first coach I had, his name's Carl Rizzuto. So he's like this older, like kind of retired. And he was from New Jersey originally, moved down to Florida. So he had experience with our marketplace. And we literally just role played these scripts. And I would role play like 5 days a week for about 10 years straight. There's kind of a formula here, if you guys aren't picking up on it. I think this is where a lot of agents miss, is that there's like some basic rules, like don't argue with anybody. Like, I mean, imagine you start arguing with someone, they're immediately going to disengage. So just that agreement, like, hey, I get where you're coming from, or I hear you, because you've got to realize these people don't go through these transactions all the time just because, you know, we talk about real estate and all the different things that happen being in the industry. Most people don't do that. It's every 11 years now, the average homeowner moves in the U.S. So maybe once a decade. I mean, I think back what I was doing when I was 29. I mean, good Lord, like I don't want to go back to that. Right. I mean, so that's one factor. The second is you have to kind of acknowledge it and then almost like ask permission to tell them what's going on. And instead of just giving the objection handler. And I hear a lot of agents do this where they say, hey, you're wrong. The housing market isn't going to crash. Well, I'm out. I immediately disengage. But actually like telling them like, hey, can I tell you why what you're sharing with me makes me nervous? Or could I share a concern? That's such a place of help because I fundamentally am clear. We are helping people when they don't hire another agent because there's so many bad agents out there. And so there's got to be that internal belief and then like practicing, like, and there's only like 14 objections, right? I mean, it's all the same stuff. People just don't know how to handle them or the formula to handle them, or they're not coming off like a know-it-all realtor. They're coming off of, hey, I'm trying to help you here. And I want you to make a good financial decision for your family. And when you take that approach and you really believe it, it's going to come through in the tonality and everything else.
So you're going in with a mindset. I've heard this before, a mindset of almost, if you don't go in and help these people, you're doing them a disservice because you truly believe you're going to give them the best product and the best service.
100%. And I mean, you think about how many agents, you know, that are out of the business, right? Or that are just bad agents. Like you see the names come up in your marketplace and you immediately know they're not giving the right advice or they're putting their interest ahead of the client. And that's the reality of this business. There's a reason there's an 87% failure rate. So I almost would argue that we're not doing our job if we're not putting the word out there that they should be working with us because we do help people. And that's what you're doing. I mean, think about how little people know about real estate transactions. The smartest person, you know, maybe they're a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. They have no idea what goes on in these transactions. They have no clue. And almost sometimes they do the wrong thing or they want to do the wrong thing to kill the deal when it's going to really hurt them to do that. And being able to have the guts to have that tough conversation is part of this too. So many realtors are afraid to tell people they're wrong in a really nice way and get them there on their own. And if you can develop that skill, you're going to really be able to have a lot of success in this business because that's what people want. They want the real advice, not the, you know, what Eric or Matt wants to hear. They want to know what it's going to take to sell their home or help them make it or help them buy a property.
Yeah. You empathize with them.
Go Eric. I had a good question.
Like an objection?
No. But I thought you were going to get into an objection.
No. Follow up with what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Okay. How do you get into the door to handle these objections? What is your main source? Are you like you're a huge door knocker?
No, I would literally, when I got out of production about a year ago with our team, I would sit on the phone if you were looking for me.
Yeah.
From 9 to 11 every morning, just making phone calls. That's all I would do. And it was, you know, a lot of people, they like just don't want to pick up the phone or they want to text or they want to email. I want people to hear the sound of my voice and hear how much I actually care about them, because you could say the same thing I'm saying right now with bad attitude, bad body language, or a bad tonality, and it's going to come off completely different. And a lot of folks don't get that. And how many times have you gotten a text message and someone said something to you and you're like, man, they're acting like such an asshole. And they didn't even mean it that way. Right. And that's what people don't get. They got to hear the sound of your voice because the words we say mean very little. It's about tonality and body language. So you'll see me like on the phone, like pointing to myself like a mental patient, but that works because they can hear that. And it's you really got to both like go all in on all the parts. This is like an art. I mean, this is a craft. It's a skill that's been developed for decades, like you said.
And this is so different than anything we talk about. And we talk about on social media marketing, how that skill starts to develop years over time. Like you do get better at making videos, you get better at on video, you get better at consuming content, editing content. And we don't really address this side because it's not our forte. So to hear this coming from you, I think is so useful for the audience that you still have to do the work in the field. And you preach this a lot on your page. Everyone should follow Tom Tool on Instagram. Great agent education. But you're always talking about like, you have to practice these phone calls, not just role play, but actually calling other agents and calling your clients and having these conversations. Like you do get better at it because of the experience, right?
No doubt. And you know, there's like a couple levels to practice, right? The first is you don't want to practice on your clients. So having like role play partners or just even like running through a script. Like, I mean, we have a listing presentation we give here at our team one of the guys on our team, Paul, he's been with us a long time. He listens to the video every time he goes to the appointment, like in the car on the way. So we're just getting better and better each time. And he's taking really high price listings now where he was struggling to do that 5-6 years ago. So it's doing that role playing the objections, like chanting it to yourself. I mean, they have seminars that all the coaches run that it's like, hey, you got to get good at these scripts. And I agree with you on the social media side too, because I've done that and my first videos were absolutely horrible. Like if you see them, I mean, it's, and I think that's everybody, but if you can just get a little better and learn something new, you know, a little bit each day, it's, these conversations are tough conversations and you almost have to anticipate what the person's going to say and be ready to handle it on the spot because you only get such a small window of opportunity to address it versus like calling them back and saying, hey, oh, I was just thinking about this and I meant to tell you this. Like that doesn't fly in the heat of the moment when someone's deciding, should I take the offer? Should I counter it? And one small misstep in these transactions, I've seen like settlement dates or like $30 Tiffany lamps kill deals. And you've got to really understand that, like, get your people in line or get them thinking in the bigger picture and addressing that stuff in like a nice way. No one wants to deal with a jerk. I mean, it's these agents that come at people so aggressively. Like, yes, people want an aggressive agent when it comes to representing them, not talking to them and helping them guide them through the decision.
Yeah, I think the social media aspect of it, like, it can only take you so far. Like, you can't finish the entire deal with just DMs on Instagram and posting content, right? Like Matt, you're good at bridging that gap too, where you actually converse with the other agents and you're actually good at closing deals. But a lot of agents are just so focused right now on the social media aspect, getting followers, getting leads, that they've completely abandoned all of the communication that they have to practice throughout the actual deal. And that's probably why a lot of agents are failing in this industry too, is because they're so focused now on social media and digital marketing that they forgot to have actual conversations with people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, think about the, you guys make fun of this all the time, the listing agent that doesn't return calls, right? The past 2 years, because they didn't have to. Well, sometimes you need the other agent on your side. Sometimes you've got to have a conversation with them and say, look, I know this is unreasonable ask. I'm calling you because I have to, because we've got these legal obligations, and really strategize how to get everyone to the table, because the job isn't to win the negotiation. The job's to either sell the home or get the home sold. It's black or white in this business. There's no in between. And when you lose sight of your core competency in any business, and for real estate agents, it's selling homes, and there's a lot of lost skills. Like they don't know how to negotiate. They don't know how to do inspections. And that stuff gets pretty hairy, especially like where we live, and Matt, probably where you are too, there's a lot of like older homes, right? Like, yeah. I mean, sometimes these homes are a disaster. You got knob and tube wiring. It's the septic system fails. Eric probably doesn't deal with this stuff because he's in California. They tear down anything built after 1990. But it's
I've destroyed a few septic systems in my day, believe me.
But you get the point, though. I mean, it's, yeah. And it's negotiating with toilets. The agent. Yeah, I think most recently in Ocean City, New Jersey, might be the case.
yeah, your beach house, actually. Yes, you ran out of toilet paper in the first 24 hours. That was crazy.
But you've got to learn how to talk to other agents and like befriend them too, because no one wants to deal with a jerk. And these people that have kind of like decided I'm not going to return calls because I'm a listing agent, that's going to come back to bite them a little bit in the next 24 months. I'm clear on that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ego going on, obviously, in this industry. And I think that certainly gets in the way a lot of the time, because people feel like they have to be some badass bully agent who's not returning calls. And then they lose sight of, you know, what they're actually trying to do is get a deal done for their client. And all they're trying to be is fucking Harvey Specter from Suits or some shit, you know? So, Eric, let's get into some more objections here. I have a good one. Actually, Eric, you wrote it, but I have a good one.
Good one, Eric.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks.
Are we good? Are we going to go right into another one?
Let's lay it on me.
Okay. Tom, I know you said our house is worth $900,000, but Zillow says it's worth 1.1.
Yeah, so I Zillow does have an algorithm they use to put values on homes, so it's a great data point to look at. If what I know is that there's a lot of homes that I've sold for more than the Zillow estimate, and a lot that have sold for less than the Zillow estimate. And so has Zillow come in towards your house?
No. We just punched in some numbers on the site.
Got it. And the reason I asked that is that we found that Zillow, on average in our marketplace, has about a 27% margin of error on how they value properties. And I'm not saying it's invalid data. What I'm saying is they don't know about the backyard. They don't know about some of the upgrades that you've made. They also don't know about maybe some of the deficiencies that are with a home. Like they can't understand what a busy road does to a home's value. So looking at the data that I provided and what we've seen actually sell in the marketplace, that's where we came up with this. So what do you think after looking at all the data here? I mean, forget what Zillow's saying in their algorithm. What are you seeing after looking at these comparable sales that I just shared with you?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. I mean, they're all around 900,000. So I don't know why Zillow told me it was 1.1.
Well, look, Zillow's not the one that you hired to sell the house. And that's why a local agent can really win. And what I know, Matt, is that you're actually going to have to sell the home three times, not just once. The first is going to be to the realtors to show it. And I would imagine if the realtors are seeing all these homes at 900 and we go out $200,000 higher, they may not want to show the property. Then we got to sell it to the buyer who's going to write up a contract that's acceptable. So if you're a buyer and you see this home and you like your property, it's a great home. There's a lot of reasons to like it. Would you be ready to pay 1.1 or more in line with these $900,000 sales that I showed you?
Yeah, definitely more in line with those $900,000 sales.
Okay, got it. And then there's the third sale, which is the mortgage company. And we got to make sure it appraises at the purchase price. So you think the mortgage company is going to put it at 1.1, seeing where these other sales are coming in?
No, probably not. And then that would be really bad.
Well, and then that's even worse because you lose time on the market. Yeah. You think the home's going to sell for this big number and then someone else is telling us something different. So what I'm clear on is that it's impossible to underprice a home. And we've seen that homes that are underpriced, they go above the asking price. They go over ask. See what I did there? So thank you. So they go over ask. So it's almost impossible to underprice a home in today's climate with given where demand is. So if I'd rather be wrong and be proven wrong later than sit on the market and have it cost you money and then have a tainted listing where people think there's something wrong with the home just because we overpriced it.
I get that.
Tom, I'm actually married to Matt. So this is my house as well. And our neighbor's house sold for 1.2 2 months ago, similar comps and everything. So why can't we get 1.2 for ours?
So
down the street, same comp.
So looking at this data here and what we're seeing is that we've seen the markets moved a little bit, and I would argue a couple of months ago, you probably could have gotten 1.2. And now with rates going up, the cost of money also got more expensive. So the 1.2 home at 4% versus your home at 5.5%, the payments aren't going to quite add up here. So it's actually costing someone more money to buy your home at a lower value. So because the cost of money went up, I mean, the payment's really how people buy a home. Not a lot of cash buyers in our marketplace. You buy with that monthly payment, and that's one of the factors here. Affordability dropped, and look, I'd love to get 1.2. Like if we get 1.2, I get paid on a percentage. So the more we sell it for, everybody wins, right? Like I'm on your side here and I want what you want. I also don't want to just tell you what you want to hear because that's not going to help you. And I've got an obligation to tell you what I need to hear or what you need to hear to sell the home and get to wherever you're moving to, or I wouldn't be doing my job. And that's the only place I'm coming from.
I mean, Tom, I want to list with you, but I don't want you showing the property. I don't really like your face. What would you say to that?
Great. I wouldn't show the property even if he asked me to. We're going to have the buyers come in with their own agent. That way I'm not here. There's no pressure. They can see the home without someone from the seller side looking at them. And you got to look at the relationship here, Eric. It's really important. Anytime a buyer talks to the listing agent, it's like talking to Matt's divorce attorney. And you guys are in the middle of the nastiest, meanest divorce ever. Is that really someone you want to be having kind of advise you or talk to you about a deal or a decision you're trying to make?
Good point. Yeah. As long as you're not showing the property, I think we'll list with you, right, Matt?
Yeah. I think that's good. I think I like him.
Yeah,
I like his face.
Yeah. You got a great face.
Yeah. No, he's got a good face. Yeah. Tom, are you consciously saying your client's name as you're doing this? I've noticed you've been saying Matt, Eric.
I've done that before. People have told me that. And it's something that I've kind of picked up on because I'm trying to you can't say like you all the time. Like imagine like someone comes up to you like, hey, you, or instead of like, hey, Matt, you know what I mean? I think I try to be polite and I don't think there's enough like professionalism in real estate in a lot of cases. So I almost have like an alter ego that comes on when I go into like a listing mode, and Eric's hung out with me socially. So there's definitely many, many sides. Right. And just like you. So, but like you show up, I mean, you've got to put the cape on and be the superhero. Like if you're having a bad day, when you walk in the door, nobody cares. They don't care what's going on in your life. They care about one thing. Can this person sell my house or can they sell me a house? And when you kind of internalize that, like, these people aren't your friends, they're calling you for a reason. And maybe they become friends with you afterwards. They probably have enough friends. They don't need me. So it's more of, I'm here to do a job and I'm going to put that persona on. Similar to the alter ego book that Todd Herman wrote, where he talks about like Bo Jackson. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. So Bo Jackson, when he stepped on the football field, he would have it. He carried a Jason mask around with him, like from Halloween. And when he stepped on the field, he said there'd be a blue flash that goes through him. And then he would execute without emotion, just like Jason did in the Halloween movies. Obviously pretty extreme, but like that's how he played. And he was lights out for until his hip fell off when he was playing. So, I mean, it's a really interesting thing to do that. And you look at some of the speakers that are out there, right? You know, Tom Ferry comes to mind, right? He's got a very different speaking persona than when you see him in other places. Like, you've been to his office, Eric. It's a little different kind of – it's the same idea. He's got his outfit that he wears when he speaks. You know, I always wear a suit when I would go to appointments with a tie on. That's what works in our market. Matt wears women's shoes, apparently, in Toronto. That goes well.
works there, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And also, you're in California, right? The agents don't dress like that for the most part in California. That would be odd.
They're wearing this T-shirt.
Yeah. Except Josh Altman, but he's in the Northeast. So you got to really kind of lean into that personality of what people want, because they want to sell their home. They don't want someone to be their buddy or their friend. They want someone that's going to come get the job done for them.
Speaking of my buddy and friend, my cousin Ishmael actually just got his real estate license about 6 months ago. And he's, you know, new to the business, but I really want to help him out. I'm thinking about listing my house with him.
Awesome. Well, congrats to Ishmael for getting into the business. That's really exciting. So what prompted him to get into the business?
He came from Israel, and you know, he knew I was in real estate. He wanted to pick my brain a little bit. I introduced him to a few people. He figured it's a great way to make money, you know, not too stringent hours. He had no boss, a lot of freedom, he said. So yeah, he's really personable. I really like the guy a lot. So I'm thinking about listing with Ishmael.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's always good to get a couple opinions, because I mean, a lot of people, they just end up working with the first person they talk to. And this is a big asset that you're selling. So I'm clear that's a mistake. I always encourage people to talk to a bunch of realtors to make sure you're going with the absolute best one. So I love the idea of getting a couple different opinions. So can I ask you a question, Eric, or share a little bit of a concern about working with Ishmael?
Yeah, by all means. Go ahead.
Couldn't have picked a better name. I look at our business as a real profession. Again, it's your biggest asset. So imagine you had to get open heart surgery. Would you want to go with the brand new minted surgeon to perform open heart surgery on you? Or do you want the person that's doing it every day, has it down to a science, and has a proven track record of delivering result that you want? Because there's a lot of money at stake here, and this is a really big decision.
Yeah, I'd want to go with the experienced doctor, but this is not open heart surgery. It's just trying to sell my condo.
And I'm no doctor for sure. What I do know is that the average agent, they only sell one out of every two homes they list. And I've sold over 98% of the homes I've listed for my 21-year career. So do you really want like a one out of two chance to sell your home with someone who just got in the business 6 months ago?
No, I'd probably rather work with someone with a 98% track record.
Great. So let's do the right thing and get started.
All right.
Okay, Tom, I'm for a buyer. Ishmael. Hold on. I'm a buyer here. Tom, I like everything you're telling me, but I think I'm just going to go buy with the listing agent because I'll get a deal.
Yeah. So, you know, I totally get that. And a lot of people, they feel the same way. So that makes a lot of sense. And what my past clients have found is that, you know, working with the listing agent, it's like calling your husband or your wife's divorce attorney in the middle of a really nasty divorce. They're already working with the other side and they have a contract to do that. So is that the kind of person you want representing your interest in such a large financial transaction?
No, not when you put it that way. Wow. Okay. I'll go with you, Tom. But the listing agent, he's a nice guy. He wears boots only from the women's section.
You know, I mean, just because someone's making questionable fashion choices doesn't mean they're the right person to help you buy a home.
All right. Well, his name was Matt Leonetti and he was fantastic, but we'll still go with you, Tom.
I heard
he's
seen
it. No, Philly. Yeah, no, he is. He's a really funny guy, and we love him very much over here at OverAsk.
Tom,
do you just? I need to ask because yeah. I'm such a huge Rocky Balboa fan. Real quick, do you like drive past that statue every day, or how does that go?
So the statue is right outside the art museum in Philadelphia. So I do not drive by it every day. But the statue, it's a pretty cool spot for it because they used to have it like outside the sport stadiums, but everyone wants to go see him running up the art museum steps. So they, yeah. they put it right outside there. So it's for a made up character, it's pretty cool. I mean, only in Philadelphia you have a statue of a made up character outside. It happens to be Sylvester Stallone.
Go for it, Eric.
All right. A couple more here, Tom. It's August right now. The midterms are coming up. I kind of want to see what happens politically before I make a decision on listing my house. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important thing to consider because what elections create is uncertainty. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what new policies might be in place. So I totally get where you're coming from, Eric. Can I tell you something that makes me nervous?
No.
I'm going to tell you anyway. What are you going to say? I want to be doing my job. what I know is that, you know, there's a cost to waiting. And if you're looking to buy a home or sell a home, we've seen that rates have kind of dipped down and danced around a little bit into that like 5, 5.5 range. And when the election happens, there's probably going to be like a week or two where people don't really know what's going to go on. I've been through 5 different administrations during my career. Any policy they enact isn't going to take place for another 6 to 12 months, best case scenario, because they got to get into the office. Then I don't know if you've monitored politics. I try to stay away from it. These people can get nothing done. They're very slow. And there's always gridlock. If there's one thing you can count on from politicians, it's to argue and not get anything done. So I don't know that the market's going to change that dramatically. What I do know is if we found the right house for you and it hit all your boxes, are you going to want to pass up on that opportunity waiting instead of getting into a home where you want to be?
No, definitely not.
So is there a cost to waiting? Well, there is a cost to waiting because rates are predicted to go up. The Fed's talking about bumping rates up too. And so what's your backup plan if you don't buy a home right now?
Just stay in the apartment I'm living in now.
You're still going to be making a payment next month. So do you want to make a payment for yourself or do you want to pay your landlord's mortgage? Because that's what you're doing right now.
No, I'm going to make a payment for myself. 100%.
So let's find the right house. No, I mean, and we got to do that on your time frame too. So all I'm saying is let's keep an open mind. And that way, if the right house does come along, we can go make a move on it. And if that doesn't materialize before the elections, we can play it out the way you want to.
What's better for the housing market, Republicans or Democrats in office, Tom?
What kind of question?
Gonna get them
exactly.
Fucking canceled.
There you go. Yeah, can't answer that one, huh? No script in your head for that one. Huh?
I don't.
You know what? Nobody knows. That's the real answer. True. I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, it's just because we got shut down in Pennsylvania during the pandemic. We were like, I think you called me. You're like, are you still shut down? I'm like, yes. Like California opened before we did, not before Canada, but California beat us. And you know, the problem, these guys get nothing done. I mean, it's just that there's nothing that ever happens. Now you are going to get asked this. I've had people ask me who I voted for walking into appointments. And I said, is that really what you're concerned about? Or you want to focus on selling your house? And I just kind of changed the subject. That's your best bet. Cause you're going to alienate half the people.
That gets dicey for sure.
But it's happened.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I guess anything could happen. There's nothing. I mean, Eric was at an open house and some guy took out a gun.
A shotgun.
Legit. Not even a joke.
I believe it.
It's insane. There's
people that get killed in real estate all the time. Like, I mean, like they've called women on our team and they're like, oh, I think this house is vacant. Why don't you come meet me over there? And we have like a safety code word for this sort of stuff. Cause you got to realize there's a lot of access to realtors. You can pretty much like, despite you guys doing this podcast, Matt, you being an agent that actually sells houses, they could find you anywhere. I mean, literally just Google your name. There's pictures. They get your phone number, your office address. It's you're really exposed in this business.
It's scary. Everything your parents told you not to do when you were younger, we do. Yeah. We just go meet strangers all day long, take them in our cars, take drinks of water from them because it's polite in listing appointments.
Candies and sandwiches, poisoned probably.
Yeah, I actually don't. I have a real problem with water. Like if I can't see where it's coming from, if they're like, would you like water? I need to like be like in the kitchen to see them get the water. I can't be in another room or I'll say no.
Bottled water is fine though, right?
Bottled water is fine. But if they say, do you want a glass of water? And I can't see a tap or anything. I say no. Is that weird?
I mean, irrational fear, I would say.
There's been times where I'm like so goddamn thirsty because I've been on like 2 or 3 listing appointments in a row and I do a lot of I'm like, oh my God, I can't even talk anymore.
I'll just drink out of the toilet. I hear where you're.
Yeah. You go away to get your own glass of water, the listing appointment.
So have you guys had Joe Biggs on the show?
Yeah.
She's electric.
Have you heard what happened to her at a listing appointment?
No. What happened?
So they offered her brownies.
Oh,
and they were special brownies. And she had like three of them and was like rocked. And they're like, and they told her afterwards, and they're like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh my God, I have to. And it started hitting her during the appointment because she didn't ask. And then she, like, it's insane. I mean, and like, that gets pretty extreme. So I'm like, wow.
If you don't know that's coming, even if you do know that's coming, but if you don't know and your mind and body start feeling that, you are completely donezo. How did they not even just tell her beforehand what they were feeding her? That's poison.
I don't know what happened. It happened. That's all I know. I could
say that. Like, was that at Dan O'Neill's house or what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, Jill's tripping balls at the appointment. Like, it's over.
And Jill's already like electric.
Yeah. So, I wonder if that slowed her down or sped her up.
Yeah. Depends what kind of brownies, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, Tom, I got one for you. I think we're winding down, but I got one here. Okay. I know you want me to lower my price, but I don't want to lower my price. I mean, last week my neighbor just sold for $1 million. Okay. I don't want to lower to 950 now.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to lower the price either, and I get that. And I don't even like having this conversation with you, Matt. And this is really the difference between a good agent and a great agent, because a good agent, they're just going to tell you what you want to hear, so you keep working with them. A great agent will give you the real news so you can sell the house. So, you know, I know that you've already bought your new home, right? And you're scheduled to close on that at the end of September?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we've already had 15 showings come through, and right now it's only taking 6 to 10 to generate an offer. So we probably should have seen something come in by now. And what makes me nervous is if we keep doing the same thing and don't adjust the number, let's say we get to the a little closer to your settlement date on your new home, well, we've got a carrying cost here. How much is your mortgage payment a month right now?
It's $3,500.
So every month we don't sell the home because we have a drop dead date where your new payment kind of kicks in and you start owning the other property at the end of September, it's going to cost you $3,500 a month just to hold the place. And the other issue that comes up is a lot of people start to wonder, why is the home not selling? Because we know the average time on the market is 23 days right now. So my point is, we've had so many people come through here. A lot of the feedback was the price. And when you get this many people that aren't interested, you know, it's not me saying, let's adjust the price. This is the market telling you, let's adjust the price, because the market and the buyers ultimately are the ones that said it. So, you know, if we get to even the end of August or closer to the settlement date on your new home and the home's not sold, what's your backup plan?
I haven't really thought that far. I just figured, you know, our neighbor sold a week ago for $1 million. So I think we should get $1 million.
Yeah. And look, I'd love to get even more than that. I mean, my goal is to get you the highest maximum price that we can get. And if we're not seeing that, I've also got an obligation to you. This is why you hired me, to tell you what exactly is going on in the market. So, you know, our options right now are, we can stay the course and see what happens, which we can do that. I don't foresee a different result coming in, or we can be more proactive, make an adjustment to the price based on the feedback we got, and look to sell it and line up those settlement dates in September so you only own one home at a time. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah, one home would be ideal for sure.
And think about it too. We're kind of getting into like heating season. You know, there's insurance issues that come up when a property's vacant. So I'm just concerned that the longer it's on the market, the less we're going to get for it. That's why I want to get ahead of this now, because in September, there's going to be more homes getting listed too. We know everyone's coming back from the beach. They're going back to school, and there's going to be more competition. So we might even get less in September versus if we do the right thing now and make the adjustment that'll get the home sold, which is what you want, right?
Yeah, that's what we want.
I like how you always throw in stats in there too.
I was just going to say that
23 days on market. Like, it's not all just wordplay. Like, you have statistics to back it up. I think that's really important for, you know, these scripts, is that everyone actually understands what's happening in their market. So you're not just paying lip service to scripts.
You know, if you don't know the data, right. And let's say imagine if it's the other way around and your client's telling you the data, well, then you look like a total numbnuts, right? Or you're a moron. You don't know what's going on. And so many agents, they try to fake their way through. Spending 10 to 15 minutes a week, not even a day, a week, just to studying what goes on in the market. And you don't need to know everything. You need to know what happened last month, because the way, I don't know how your guys' market works, we get the monthly statistics in the middle of the month. So it shows us what exactly happened like the month prior. Like, it's really simple. We actually put like a one page flyer together for our team. We send it out to them, so they don't even need to look it up. And it's just study that. I'd even just keep it in your car And when you're out on these appointments and doing different things too, just like write down some notes when you're showing these houses. Like just have like, hey, I know the neighbor's home sold for X, or this was on the market 23 days. They bought it for Y. Just having a little bit of information and doing 10 to 15 minutes worth of prep for every appointment that you go on, it's going to go a long way, because these objections don't get fired at you like this. They come up in conversation when you're looking at houses. They come up when you're talking to people on the phone or when you're at the kitchen table. And you've got to, that's where the role play and the practice comes in. It's almost like muscle memory where, you know, Eric, I know you're a golfer, like your swing, it's like becomes muscle memory over time. That's what you want to have happen with these things, because the script doesn't change, the data might. And if you don't know the market, people aren't going to believe you.
What are the top two objections in your career that you would get, you'd say, the most?
So waiting is a big one. I mean, I think a lot of people are just looking for a reason to wait and kick it down the road. So that's kind of a situational one to handle. The biggest one is like, why don't people make an offer, right? Like, why don't they make an offer when it's priced too high? And what I would do when I was in production is I literally blocked out. And this is great advice for anybody that wants to work listings at a high level. You're not going to want to talk to these people every day. I think at peak, I was carrying anywhere from like 20 to 40 listings like at one time. I would block out like 3 hours on a Thursday and just call all the sellers one by one and tell them, hey, you're going to hear from me at least once a week. And hopefully these homes are selling. You're not having these conversations. But the price adjustment is the toughest conversation. I don't care what anyone says. It's one thing when you got an offer they don't like. It's another one they don't even have an offer and you're telling them they got to bring the price down in the hopes of getting an offer. And, hey, I don't want to give it away, Matt. Or I don't understand why people aren't making an offer. It's all because you're dealing with other people's money. And that's tough for some people. They just don't want to swallow that. And those are the hardest conversations in my view.
Do you deal with commission a lot? Did you deal with commission a lot, like that objection?
It comes into play. You know, my approach was maybe a little different, where I wanted to wow them so much in the presentation that commission would almost not be an issue. Where it's like, they're like, hey, how don't I hire you? Like, this is so much better than what the other person told me. So we had a documented process. So let's say I set an appointment with you. As soon as the appointment's over, the phone call's over, setting the appointment, excuse me, I'd send a pre-listing video, personalized. So, hey, Matt, it's Tom Tool here with REMAX. Super excited to come by and take a look at your home on Tuesday at 5:00. Really appreciate the opportunity. And in order to give you a better idea for the results that I deliver, in the links below, you'll find my resume, tons of reviews from past clients, and a copy of the marketing plan I'll use to ensure we get maximum exposure for the home. If you got any questions between now and then, feel free to reach out. My cell number is listed below. Otherwise, I'll see you on Tuesday at 5:00. And lastly, I know you have a lot of choices in front of you when it comes to real estate, and I'm really honored to be one of them. And that's the script, right? With that energy level. I mean, I kind of picked it up there, if you guys noticed that. And then pre-qualify
them. That was electric.
That was completely, I thought you were on some weed brownies there.
Yeah, I was blown away by that.
You look like it.
Yeah.
But then you pre-qualify them. And that to me is another thing a lot of people don't do. They go to these appointments with no prep work, right? So you don't know what you're walking into, what their goals are, what number they have in mind for the house. So we would pre-qualify every single time, so I know exactly what I'm walking into. And you can adjust the meeting based on what's important to the seller. So if Eric's saying communication is really important, that's like the first thing I'm hitting on. And I would write like even notes at the top of my yellow pad. I wouldn't bring in like an iPad or anything. I'd have a paper listing presentation, notes printed out, all that stuff, like a leather portfolio. And a couple notes would be at the top. If Matt says to him, you know, to me, marketing's really important, or, you know, my last agent didn't do this or whatever, like you want to hit on those things right up front, not wait till they come up in the presentation. It shows, one, you're listening to people, because most salespeople talk way too much. Two, you actually care about your clients. And we talked about coming from a place of help and doing that. So adjusting the presentation to meet them where they're at is really important. And I would make sure I showed up on time. I'm groomed properly, right? Like trim your nose hair, trim your ear hair, like make sure your tie's on straight. Don't have like bad breath, like chew some gum on the way.
Eric All never has that- bad breath.
Listerine strips always on deck. Anyone that knows me knows I have a packet of Listerine strips always. There's nothing worse than bad breath. If you have bad breath in a listing presentation, you are done.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, people don't get this stuff. I mean, even like, you know, like plucking your eyebrows, or like making sure like you're like clean shaven works in my market. Or like having like a well-groomed, the 2-day beard never works like that. I think it's either got to have a beard like you guys have that actually is legit, or I can't grow a beard, so I go with clean shaven. So but it's like, you want to look the part. And every market is different. So go to your market, be on time, or call them if you're running late. Like, this is such basic stuff that agents just don't do. And when I come in there, we talked a lot about marketing because most agents don't have a presentation. It was, hey, here's our plan. And it's a 3-point plan because we're going to go over what we can do to make sure that buyers get the right emotional reaction when they walk through the door, how we're going to market the property to get the right exposure online and offline, and then how we can position the property to be the next home to sell. And hit on those 3 points. It's pretty scripted, but there's some flow to it. And just give such a good presentation that they're ready to sign at the end. And if you do that, commission doesn't come up. I'll just say, yeah, hey, here's our standard fee. And I literally write it into the contract and they would sign.
What I love about this episode and what I hope a lot of people get from it is you're such a perfect blend of bringing in the new with the old. Don't you think, Eric? It's like, yeah, it's so perfect. Like, you're not forgetting about these old school tactics that need to be in place for the new school things to work. Like, I saw a video of you talking about buyer consultations the other day.
Nobody gives them anymore.
I haven't heard about it. Exactly. And the fact that you did that on video, which is new school, but talking about such an old tactic that you're right. I used to do those all the time when I started, and that was only 6 years ago. And they're completely forgotten now. And I think there's a lot of value to be given in a buyer consultation. So that's awesome that you've kind of cracked the code on bringing in the new and the old.
Thank you. You're very kind. Much yes, nicer than Eric.
Yeah. I've been complimenting content nonstop for the last.
No, we're not. All kidding aside, Eric and I are very good friends.
Yeah, we're best friends. You've evolved so much with your content. Yourself. And now, yeah. everyone should go follow him at Tom Tool Third. What is it?
Tom Tool 3RD.
Tom Tool 3RD.
There's four Tom Tools, actually.
3RD. Yeah. So third.
Yeah, third with a three. Yeah. What am I going to put? I sound like the guy on the Howard Stern show. I forget his name.
Stuttering John.
Stuttering John, yeah. That's literally what it sounds like.
If you guys enjoyed this episode with Tom Tool, throw it a like, comment an objection. Tom will answer the objection in the comments.
I will answer the objections when this happens.
You will, actually.
For sure.
Go to his profile, watch his videos. This guy is a wealth of knowledge. He's super fun to hang out with, too. You're going to be at the Tom Ferry Summit in a couple weeks, right?
I will be there. I am closing out Tom X Tuesday morning. So before everyone is out of it and hungover at the event after the first day, you can come see me talk about the flywheel. I think it's like 11:30 in the morning or something like that.
That's the perfect time to speak. First day of the conference, early morning. You get that out of the way. Then you have no nerves. Matt and I just spoke at IMA. We had to speak. Well, Matt spoke Thursday at 2:15. And then we had to speak Friday morning at 10:30 after the biggest partying night, Thursday night in Vegas. Way more difficult to do that. So that is the time to speak early in the conference for sure.
Yeah.
You were a nervous wreck at Boomtown when you had to speak at 4 o'clock the first day. And and Eric and I both had to speak that day. So it was we were good. Like we were supporting each other, but you were like, I can't deal with this. I have to wait all day. You were literally the last one.
I get stomach issues, throughout the day. So it's just like, I just keep pounding the toilet for like 10 straight hours, but I crushed Boomtown. We did great at Inman, I think, Matt. So
yeah, I agree. I think so. I think people really enjoyed it.
To hammer it home with one more point, the memory that you said, like you get muscle memory with the way you're speaking, that happens with speaking gigs and everything too. Happens on this podcast. Matt and I say similar things. Happens in your real estate business. I think that's a really important takeaway from this is the more you do it, you're going to just start naturally saying these things instead of actively having to think of the words to say. Like you've noticed that too in your like speeches, right, Matt? Like if someone says something, we kind of have like a dialogue path that we could go down.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like a kind of, you're not backed into a corner ever. You can always find your way out for sure. Love it. Tom, thanks so much for being on. This was a sick episode, unlike anything we've had, honestly. So thank you very much. I think people are really going to enjoy this. And is there anywhere, can people like reach out to you and get some advice or how can they?
So I respond to all the DMs I get on Instagram. So, I mean, I'm really cognizant of that because I think it's a great way to connect with people. And I've been very grateful of like the agents I met through Tom Ferry and other places that actually would like reach out to me. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe this person's helping me. But the point is like someone that really cares about the industry, they'll give back. And that's why we put out the content that we do. Like if you can help one person go help someone sell a house, and this sounds so cheesy, but it's absolutely true. So just DM me on Instagram. That's a great way to get in touch. If you email me, that's going to go to a black hole. So we're not going to do that. So Instagram's the way to go.
Sweet. You heard it here, folks. Email them.
The Broke Agent presents Over Ask Podcast.